I've been looking at the hymn on the sheet, number 25. This is a favorite hymn of my father's. It says, "Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time. Fleeting days are telling fast that the die will soon be cast and the fatal line be passed, be in time." Verse 3 says, "Time is gliding swiftly by, death and judgment both draw nigh. To the arms of Jesus fly, be in time. Oh, I pray you count the cost, ere the fatal line be crossed and your Christless soul be lost, be in time." One of the things my father liked to do is tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ and how to be saved. And so I believe that's why he would give this hymn out probably nearly every time he gave the gospel. But I couldn't help but think of it tonight, after the weekend that we have had, after the meetings we have had before us, after what the brothers, by the Spirit, delivered to each one of us sitting in the room, knowing of the times that are to come. And so we'll sing this hymn number 25 together.
Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time. Fleeting days are telling past, that the die will soon be cast, and the fatal line be passed.
Be in time.
verse of that hymn said, "Sinner, heed the warning voice. Make the Lord your happy choice. Then all heaven will rejoice." It says, "Come from darkness into light, from the way that seemeth right. Come and start for heaven tonight. Be in time." If you don't have Jesus as your Savior, the way that seemeth right to you is wrong. And it might be difficult sometimes to hear that the way you think is wrong. But when I look and I don't see anybody here that I haven't seen all weekend, I hope I'm right about that. And I feel like I know a great deal of you, but I cannot tell your heart. You know, it says in God's word that man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. And he knows whether you are his and whether you are not. And if you think you've figured out a way that can save you from this horrible world, from the sin that is in your heart, and from going to that lost eternity, hell, then you're just wrong. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You know, I have to admit that when I look at this world that we live in, if I was not a believer in Christ, if I was not saved, I would be petrified. I would be scared to death to go much further in this world than where I'm at now. And if you are here in your sins tonight, and you are unsaved, then you are alone in this world and you are without hope. And you must just be petrified. I'm going to read a verse in Revelation, chapter 19. We have spoken many times this weekend about the wrath of God. And if you believe that what I have said about this world is correct, that it is dark, defiling, evil, and frightening, then I just want to read these verses to you. Revelation 19, I will start at verse 11. "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." Verse 15, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." John chapter 3. The last verse. John chapter 3, verse 36. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." The evil of this world is nothing compared to what will be in that day when you stand before that great white throne and your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's reality. That's truth. Look at the first part of that verse. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. There's two options. Why would there be two options? You know, we often quote that verse in Romans 3 and 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But in reading recently, I saw this verse in 1 Kings chapter 8, and I thought maybe it would give us a different perspective than seeing that same verse over and over again. So 1 Kings chapter 8, Solomon praying. Verse 46. We read this, and then there is not one that can sit here tonight and deceive themselves. 1 Kings 8 and verse 46. In brackets, the second line. For there is no man that sinneth not. For there is no man that sinneth not. And so there is an option. He that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not. The alternative isn't very good. And I merely wanted to point this out to put into perspective for you and for me of the great price that the Lord Jesus Christ paid on the cross for our sins and simply made it such that all we have to do is believe. Why would he do that? Why would he do that? I have looked in the mirror at myself in the past and I wondered, how could he ever love me? I should be the most unlovable thing. But he loves me, and he died for me, and he saved me. And dear ones, oh, how precious you are to him, that he wants you to be with him in the glory, so much so that he would suffer a death that you and I could never bear. He would suffer something on the cross for you that we could never endure. And then there was the hours of darkness. And I liken that to your heart if you are still in your sins. The thoughts and intents of the heart are only evil continually. And we couldn't see him at that time because he bore the burden of my sins upon himself. He bore such suffering at that moment for you and for me so that we could have an option. Won't you choose to believe in him tonight? He's calling you to him. He loves you and he wants you to be with him for all eternity. John chapter 4. I'm sorry, one little verse in John chapter 5. I was looking for the verse in John chapter 4, and I was scanning through, and this verse somewhat popped off the page at me. And I wondered why, and I'm going to read it to you because it's very simple. John chapter 5 and verse 42, he says, "But I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you." He knows your heart. He can see it. You can't hide it from him. Chapter 3. Verse 19, "In this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or discovered." When we are in our sin, we live in a world of darkness. And we believe that we can cover it and hide it. But we can't. And he knows. The only way to escape it is to come to him for salvation. To trust in him, to believe in him, to know that he died for you on the cross to save you from your sins. You know, I think of that one. I love to tell this story about blind Bartimaeus. You can see it in Mark. Chapter 10. Says, "And they came to Jericho," in verse 46, "and as he went out to Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" If you are in your sins tonight, you should be crying, "Have mercy on me. Save me. Time is short, dear ones." We've heard it all weekend. It is truth. Be in time. It's running out. Cry out to him now. Peter could see that light walking on the water. And he could go to him. But the moment he couldn't see the light, he began to fall into the darkness. And what did he do? He cried out, "Lord, save me." Cry out to him now, "Lord, save me," and believe in him and be saved. Blind Bartimaeus, he cried out, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Just want to turn to Isaiah, hold your place there, 42 for a moment. Isaiah 42, the end of verse 7. "To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house." That is the state you are in if you are in your sins. You are in the darkness, the prison house. "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. Blind Bartimaeus, he couldn't see. It was as though he was in the prison house in darkness, and he said that I might receive my sight. Can you see him tonight? Can you see the Lord Jesus, that one, hanging on the cross for you in death, dying, bearing your punishment? He is that one who is the light. And he wants to shine in your heart tonight. That I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Immediately he received his sight. And he could see that blessed one. And oh, I can promise you, if you are in your sins now and put your trust in him, you will be overjoyed instantly. The fears of this world, that judgment to come, will be gone instantly. Well, sometimes I tell this little story. I don't know when the last time was that I told it, but it was about a man named Bert. And Bert, he grew up going to meeting. And he knew all the things about the Lord. He knew all about the Lord Jesus Christ, the work at Calvary. He went to Sunday school. He learned his verses, books of the Bible. He could do it all. But as he got older, well, he decided that it wasn't for him. He decided that Sunday school was too little for him. And he got out, hanging out with the wrong people. And before long, he got into gambling and joined a nightclub. He spent a lot of time drinking alcohol and playing cards in a dark room. Such was his heart, as he had not taken the Lord Jesus as his Savior. Well, you know, as time went on, he didn't have much of a life except for that. And he was walking by the old building where the Sunday school had been. And as he went by, there was a sign about a gospel meeting that night. And he could hear the singing. And he remembered the hymns. He said, ah, it'd be kind of neat to go in and see the old place again. So he went in. And he sat in the back row. And he listened to the man preach the gospel. And the man told him all those things that he had already heard. The man asked if there was any in the room that were still in their sins, and he knew. Bert knew he was talking about him. Am I talking about you tonight, dear one? Bert knew he was on his way to a lost eternity. And he asked the Lord to save him right there and then, right in that moment. Well, the meeting was over and Bert walked back out into the street. I believe he did share his joy with those that were in the room. It's important that we do that. He went out onto the street and he looked one way and he looked the other and he said, what am I going to do now? He could see the club down the road that he was on his way to. So he headed down to the club and he opened up the door. And all his old buddies were sitting in that dark room. But I'm sure Bert must have looked like a light walking into that room because they all started to jeer at him and call out to him and say, where have you been, buddy? You're late. And he said, I've played my last game of cards with you. And I've come to tell you that I've put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm on my way to heaven. And I've come to tell you that I led many of you down the wrong path in encouraging this type of behavior. And I just want to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he was taken from darkness and he was brought into Christ's marvelous light, just like that. Just like blind Bartimaeus could cast off that old garment, he could receive his sight and he could follow Christ. It says in Luke chapter 5, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Dear ones, repent of your sins tonight. Recognize that it is your problem, that it is you, that you are full of sin, that you need a Savior, that there is only one way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Put your trust in him now and be saved. John chapter 4. Verse 42, it says, now we believe. Sorry. Partway into the verse. For we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. You have a responsibility. You have now heard it. You have heard the gospel. It is up to you to either receive it or reject it. He is the Savior of the world, indeed. Do you believe it? Will you receive it tonight? We know this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world. He gives us scripture like this. I believe because I have heard at different times that ones have maybe accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior, but then they weren't really sure. And they questioned their salvation. And at times, I've even heard that ones wondered if they were really saved. And I didn't want that for you tonight. I want you to know. I really want you to know that this is the truth. And that he tells you it is the truth. Look in 1 John chapter 4, I believe it is. 5. 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5, verse 13 is the verse I was thinking of. Verse 12 we could start at. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him. And I want you to know it. And I want you to be confident in it. I want you to be secure and have that blessed assurance that when He takes you home, or when He comes in the cloud and you hear His voice, you hear that shout, that you're going to be caught up together with all of His own. We're going to meet Him in the air. He's going to take us to that place that He's prepared for us. He says, I have gone to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I want you to know it, and I want you to be confident in it. And I want you to have that peace that passeth all understanding. I want you to be happy. But it doesn't matter what I want. What matters is that He wants you. What matters is that He loves you. And He died to redeem you. And He wants you to know all these things. He wants you to be secure and have confidence in Him. He wants you to be waiting for His return as one of His own. I trust you will believe in Him tonight. If I could, I would like to read this little, it's a poem, but it's really a gospel message if I could. And maybe you've read it. It's most certainly my favorite. It's called A Little Pilgrim. My wife says I read it in a certain way, but I'm a little bit nervous, so I might not do so good. A Little Pilgrim. It says, one summer evening, ere the sun went down, when city men were hastening from the town to reach their home, some near at hand, some far, by snorting train, by omnibus or car, to be beyond the reach of city's din, a streetcar stopped, a little girl got in, a cheery-looking girl, scarce 4 years old. Although not shy, her manners were not bold. But all alone, one scarce could understand, she held a bundle in her little hand, a tiny handkerchief with corners tied, but which did not some bread and butter hide. A satin scarf, so natty and so neat, was o'er her shoulders thrown. She took her seat, and laid her bundle underneath her arm, and smiling prettily, but yet so calm, she to the porter said, may I sit here? He answered instantly, oh yes, my dear. And there she seemed inclined to make her stay, while once again the car went on its way. The tall conductor, over 6 feet high, now scanned the travelers with a business eye. But in that eye was something kind and mild that took the notice of the little child. And a little after, the man went round, and soon was heard the old familiar sound of gathering fares and clipping tickets too. The car was full, and he had much to do. You're fair, my little girl, at length he said. She looked a moment, shook her little head. I have no pennies, don't you know, said she. My fare is paid, and Jesus paid for me. He looked bewildered. All the people smiled. I didn't know, and who is Jesus, child? Why don't you know He once for sinners died, for little children and for men beside, to make us good and wash us from our sin? Is this His railway I am traveling in? Don't think it is. I want your fare, you know. I told you Jesus paid it long ago. My mother told me just before she died that Jesus paid when He was crucified, that at the cross His railway did begin, which took poor sinners from a world of sin. My mother said His home was grand and fair. I want to go and see my mother there. I want to go to heaven where Jesus lives. Won't you go too? My mother said He gives a loving welcome. Shall we not be late? I want to go before He shuts the gate. He bids little children to come to Him. The poor conductor's eyes felt rather dim. He knew not why he fumbled at his coat and felt a substance rising in his throat. The people listened to the little child. Some were in tears, the roughest only smiled. And someone whispered as they looked amazed, out of the mouth of babes the Lord is praised. I am a pilgrim, said the little thing. I am going to heaven. My mother used to sing to me of Jesus and His Father's love, told me to meet her in His home above. And so today, when Aunt went out to tea, And looking out, I could not father see. I got my bundle, kissed my little kit. I am so hungry, I'd like to have a bit. And got my hat, and then I left my home, a little pilgrim up to heaven to roam. And then your carriage stopped, and I could see you looked so kind. I saw you beckon me. I thought you must belong to Jesus' train. And are you just going home to heaven again? The poor conductor only shook his head. Tears were in his eyes. The power of speech had fled. Had conscience by her prattle roused his fears and struck upon the fountain of his tears and made his thoughts in sad confusion whirl. At last he said, "Once I had a little girl. I loved her much. She was my little pet. And with great fondness I remember yet how much she loved me. But one day she died. She's gone to heaven," the little girl replied. "She's gone to Jesus. Jesus paid her fare. Oh, dear conductor, won't you meet her there?" The poor conductor now broke fairly down. He could have borne the harshest look or frown, but no one laughed, but many sitting by beheld the scene with sympathetic eye. He kissed the child, for she his heart had won. "I am so sleepy," said the little one. "If you will let me, I'll lie here and wait until your carriage comes to Jesus' gate. Be sure to wake me up and pull my frock. And at the gate, give just one little knock, and you'll see Jesus there." The strong man wept. I could but think, as from the car I stepped, how oft the little one has found the road, the narrow pathway to that blessed abode, through faith in Christ has writ its title clear, while learned men remain in doubt and fear. A little child the Lord oft uses such, the stoutest heart to break or bend or touch, then by his Spirit bids the conflict cease and once forever enter into peace. And then along the road the news we bear on our way to heaven that Jesus paid our fare.
I generally don't make it through reading that, but Jesus paid that fare, and he paid it for everyone that is sitting here tonight. And won't you be like that train conductor? It's not that there are ones that have gone on before that we want to go and see. It is that one that died on the cross for you and me. He shed his precious blood to wash our stains away, that we might spend eternity with him one day soon, maybe today. Believe in him now. Could we sing "Decide for Christ Today," number 21?
Hymn number 21.
Decide for Christ today, and God's salvation see.
Well, we're out of time. I'd only thought of one little thing that it might remind you of yourself in your sins, if you are still in your sins, in that pit, that miry clay. And I thought of Jeremiah. Back in the Old Testament, you know, he was cast into that pit. And how dark it must have been. And Abimelech, I believe it was, came along. He was a eunuch, a servant of the king. And he cried to the king and he said, you know, he will surely die. He will surely die there. And the king said, bring him up. Abimelech and a bunch of other men, I don't remember the number, they went and they tied a bunch of rags together and they lowered them down into that pit. And Jeremiah put them under his arms and they tied them. He held on tight. Dear ones, believe tonight and hold on tight. If you're in your sins, he wants to bring you up out of that pit of darkness into his light. He tells us in a few chapters before that in Jeremiah 31, says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. He loves you so much. He wants you tonight. Please believe in him.